Assalamu alaikum everybody and welcome to Sacred Texts. It's been a while. So the purpose of this podcast is so that you can gain first-hand knowledge from Islamic literature that I will read. So this is a chance for you to listen in through a podcast platform and gain just knowledge. I'm going to be reading books throughout the podcast. The first book that we're reading right now is called Stories of the Prophets by Imam Ibn Kathir, who used to live in the 700th year after Hijri. So that's a long time ago. And so let's get started. First of all, apologies. I know it's been a while and there's multiple reasons for that, but majority of it as I couldn't find the kind of the right schedule and stuff. Even right now, I'm honestly just doing it on a Thursday. Majority of the time, this is going to be on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at around we decided was 20 minutes after Sahri, something like that, is when I'll normally do it. So I'll do one session tomorrow too. I just didn't want to miss out on another session today. So I'll just get started for today. So we're on the story of chapter 6. We're on the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So far, we've read about Ibrahim alayhi salam as he was growing older. First of all, he was born in Babylonia. And he was born in a family, and especially his stepfather was, or his uncle that he lived with, who he called father, was actually an idol worshiper. Not only an idol worshiper, but an idol maker, and one of the heads. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, on the other hand, since he was a child, he just couldn't understand why people worship idols. So he went to a cave, he saw the sun and the moon, he was contemplating on the universe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ibrahim alayhi salam realized that even the stars that are worshipped, even the sun that is worshipped, the moon that is worshipped, all of them have a start and a finish. They all fall. The sun, it sets. The moon, it goes down as well. Like it disappears. Ibrahim alayhi salam was questioning all of this. And he's saying, how is it that something that has a start and a finish can be a creator, can be a Lord, can be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So essentially, that's where we left off. And so we'll continue from that same point. So he brings it, essentially, Ibrahim alayhi salam now addresses his people who worship these celestial bodies, who worship the sun and the moon. And we'll start over there once again. So Imam Ibn Kathir says that Ibrahim addressed his people who worship these celestial bodies as Almighty Allah reveals in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, thus did we show Ibrahim the knowledge, the kingdom of the heavens and the earth, that he be one of those who have faith with certainty. When the night covered him over with darkness, he saw a star. He said, this is my Lord. But when it set, he said, I like not those that set. But when it set, he said, unless my Lord guides me, I shall surely be among the erred people. Then when he saw the sun rising up, he said, is this my Lord? This is greater than that star. But when it set, he said, O my people, I am indeed free from all that you join as partners in worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verily, I have turned my face towards him who has created the heavens and the earth. And I am not of the mushrikeen. I am not of those who worship other than Allah. His people disputed with him. And he said, do you dispute with me concerning Allah while he has guided me? And I fear not those whom you associate with Allah in worship. Nothing can happen to me except when my Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills something. My Lord comprehends in his knowledge all things. Will you not then remember? And how should I fear those whom you associate in worship with Allah, though they cannot benefit or harm, while you fear not that you have joined in worship with Allah, things for which he has not sent down to you any authority? So which of the two parties has more right to be in security, if you but know? it is those who believe in the oneness of Allah and worship none but Him alone and confuse not their belief with zulm, with wrongdoing, and by worshipping other than Allah. For them there is security and they are the ones who are guided. And that was our proof which we gave Ibrahim against his people. We raise whom we will in degree. Certainly your Lord is all-wise, all-knowing. So Imam Ibn Kathir continues, in that debate, Ibrahim clarified to his people that these celestial bodies do not serve as deities and cannot be worshipped as partners with Allah the Almighty. Indeed, these bodies are created things. They're fashioned, they're controlled, and they're managed. They're made to serve rather than being creators. They appear sometimes and they disappear at others, going out of sight from our world. However, Allah the Almighty does not lose sight of anything, and nothing can be hidden from Him. He is without end. He is everlasting, without a start, without a finish, without disappearance. There is no other deity but Allah. Ibrahim made clear to them, first, that the celestial bodies are unworthy of worship, and second, that they are actually among the signs of Allah. Allah Almighty commanded in the Holy Quran, and from amongst His signs are the night and the day, the sun and the moon. Prostrate not to the sun nor to the moon, but prostrate to Allah who created them, if you really worship Him. Ibrahim's reasoning helped to reveal the truth. And then the conflict between him and his people began. For they were the worshipper of the stars and the planets, and so they did not stay mute because Ibrahim was disagreeing with them. They began arguing, and then they began threatening Ibrahim. And Ibrahim replied, do you dispute with me concerning Allah while He has guided me? And I fear not those whom you associate in worship with Allah, except that nothing can happen to me, nothing can harm me, except if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. So Imam Ibn Kathir continues that the curtains are drawing on the first category of people. These were those who worship celestial bodies. The next situation reveals the second group. These were those who practice worshipping idols. So not bodies in the sky, but things made out of their own hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Ibrahim alayhi salam, Abraham, the reasoning he needed the first time and every time he argued with his people in regards to this. Allah Almighty declares in the Holy Quran, and that was our proof which we gave Abraham against his people. We raise whom we will in degrees. Certainly your Lord is all wise and all knowing. Abraham did his best to make his people heedful to the belief in the oneness of Almighty Allah and to the worship of Him alone. He bade them to firmly renounce the worship of idols. And he said to his father and his people, what are these images to which you are devoted? And they said, we found our fathers worshipping them. And he said, indeed you and your fathers have been in manifest error. And they said, have you brought us the truth or are you one of those who play about? And he said, nay, your Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth who created them, and of that I am one of the witnesses. All was finished between Abraham and his people, and the struggle began. The most amazed and furious of all of the people was his own uncle, who he called father. For as it is well known that he not only worshipped idols, but he also sculpted them, and he sold them as well. And he was one of the leaders. Ibrahim felt that it was his duty as a good son to advise his father against this evil so that he could be saved from Allah's punishment. He could be saved from associating things with Allah. And being a wise son, he did not make his father feel foolish. And he didn't openly laugh at him either. He told him that he loved him, thereby hoping to generate fatherly love. And then he gently asked him why he worshipped lifeless idols who could not hear, who couldn't see, who could not protect him. Before his father could become angry, he hastily said, O my father, really there has come to me of knowledge that which came not unto you. So follow me. I will guide you to a straight path. O my father, worship not Satan, worship not Shaitan. Verily, Shaitan has been a rebel against the most beneficent Allah. O my father, verily I fear lest a torment from Allah, the most merciful and the most beneficent, overtake you, so that you become a companion of Shaitan in the hellfire. And he, the father, said, Do you reject my gods, O Ibrahim? If you stop not this, I will indeed stone you. If you don't stop this, I will stone you. So get away from me safely before I punish you. Ibrahim said, Peace be upon you. I will ask forgiveness of my Lord for you. Verily, he is unto me ever most gracious. And I shall turn away from you and from those whom you invoke besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His father's harsh treatment did not stop Ibrahim from delivering the message of truth. Angry and sad to see people prostrate before idols, he was determined to stamp out these practices and went to the town to debate with the people, knowing full well that he might suffer harm. Like a wise doctor searching for the cause of a sickness so as to prescribe the proper cure, or like a judge who questions the accused sharply so that he might detect the truth, Ibrahim asked them, Do the idols see you when you prostrate before them? And they said, No. And so then he asked, How can they benefit you in any way? And then they quickly tried to defend their beliefs. They argued that they knew their idols were lifeless, but that their forefathers had worshipped them, and to them this was proof enough for their belief. And I think that is where I will pause for today on the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And so just some comments, some takeaways from what I learned. A lot of things we spoke about before too, but one of them was that Ibrahim alayhi salam is telling people, don't worship this sun, don't worship this moon, but look at them, observe them, and know that these are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine the strength of this sun, that the way that it creates life. Imagine the light that and this beauty that this moon gives, and then imagine the majesty of the one that created it. So these are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't worship them, but do think about them, observe them. And then another thing that I took away from this was that, I commented on this last time too, but those people essentially threaten Ibrahim. And they're like, hey, if you don't do this, if you don't worship these statues, or these gods that they called gods, they're like, oh, they've cursed you. They're gonna curse you and stuff. So they were threatening essentially Ibrahim alayhi salam with that. And so Ibrahim alayhi salam is saying that there's no power on earth that can cause benefit or harm to anyone other than Allah Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should remember that too. When we get baseless threats in our life, baseless curses, there's no harm that can actually be done. So there's no point of getting scared of things and of people or of standing up for what is right. I feel like this time is really good. There's so many people joining live at this time. Anyway, so another thing that I took away from this is that so out of everything, like, they have no argument for it, but Ibrahim alayhi salam's people, their last and final judgment, their argument essentially is that they don't need any proof. Yes, these idols can't speak, they can't see. If you tip them over, they'll fall. But the proof is that their forefathers used to do it. They're like, our fathers used to do it, so then that's proof enough for us. Oh my goodness. Like, human beings in general, like, just because something someone else did, even if it's your forefathers, does not mean that it is right. To have that questioning, even we, honestly, in this day and age, as Muslims, we don't necessarily all, well, sometimes we give into some cultural things that have no basis in Islam, and we follow them thinking that this is part of Islam. That's wrong. Those are innovative things, right? That's bid'ah. It's innovation. But another thing of this is also that sometimes, like, our imams, even, like, sometimes we will even listen and we'll get knowledge from some scholar or something, and then we will automatically think that this person does not make errors. This person is, like, infallible, and we'll follow them blindly. even that is not a good idea. Like, following anyone other than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's no one that is like perfect. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not protected anyone from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's friends, the friends of Allah, even they make mistakes, but them, like, you can still, like, you know, but you can still, these scholars, you can follow them, but you can still hold them accountable as well to the Sharia. Actually, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, when the Prophet passed away, and Abu Bakr, at this point, the entire Muslim Ummah was in disarray. Everyone is so sad and in shock that the Prophet of Allah can pass away. Umar radiallahu ta'ala stands up and he says, anyone who declares the Prophet is not here anymore, whoever says he's dead, I'm going to take their head off. I'm going to kill him. And Abu Bakr Siddiq, he stands up and he assures people. And what he says at the time is that, if you considered Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as your God, know that he is no more. But if you considered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as your Lord, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not sleep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, he's pure and free from that. He is your Lord, essentially. But then after that, Abu Bakr, even when taking the oath, he actually said to the people, as long as I am on the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as long as I am on that path, listen to me. And if I am not, don't listen to me. Like, you know, like, essentially he's encouraging people to question him and stuff. But these days, the way that system is set up and the way our scholars sometimes are and the way we are too, like, we automatically just turn off our own brains and stuff. So that's not a good idea as well. Try to learn. This is one of the purposes of the sacred text. So learn this knowledge yourself, at least the basics of it, even if you don't have time, so that you can at least have a good moral compass for yourself. Someone else doesn't dictate what is right and wrong for you. You dictate that yourself. So that's something I took away. And then the last thing that I wanted to comment on that I took away. So Ibrahim alayhi salam's father, he's an idol worshipper. He's a polytheist. He's a mushrik, essentially, right? But at the same time, the way that he's treating Ibrahim, he's like, I'm going to stone you. Like, I'm going to make you stand in a place and throw stones at you, essentially. This was one of the punishments, right, in that era. And the way that Ibrahim alayhi salam is speaking to his father is softly, kindly, even then. So even the fact that the parents are wrong in something does not mean that you speak to them in a way of disrespect, is what I'm trying to say here, what the point I'm making. Like, our parents, like, as Muslim people, generically, they're always trying to encourage goodness in us, like following Islam, following good things. But if they make a mistake, or if they're wrong in something, and they can be wrong, they're just human beings like us, and we're experiments for them too, but they can be wrong. You can't disagree with them. Like, Ibrahim alayhi salam is obviously disagreeing with his father, because anything where it comes to Sharia, when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when it comes to the way, what's wrong is wrong. You can disagree, but respectfully. The way that he communicates is in a very gentle manner. The way that he speaks, even then, it's a gentle manner. But when they're in the right, then of course, adopting that. And that's something I took away, something I want to implement continuously upon myself as I grow older, as I learn more and stuff. I'm focusing on that quite a bit for myself too. So that's a takeaway from me, for myself, to always be respectful of our parents and of our elders, even if they are wrong in something, and we have justification. But even communicating that in a respectful manner is very important. And honestly, if you communicate in a respectful manner, it'll probably have, like, a better impact than if you're just, you know, kind of crazy about it or rude about it. That's basically it. That's it for today. So tomorrow, we'll continue on with the story and with the dialogue that Ibrahim is having with these people. And tomorrow it'll be after Sahri. If there's not too many people, I might actually change it to during midday, because I feel like having a live audience is very nice. So I'll test it out tomorrow after Sahri, and then it'll be Monday, Wednesday, Friday for everything. Ramzan Mubarak to you too. And if you're listening to this on the podcasting apps, I have an Instagram page that you can follow this live and you can see other quotes and stuff too. It's called sacred.text. Take care. Assalamu alaikum. Bye. Allah Hafiz.